All right, episode 97. We're back. And we're back with our friend Michael. Thanks for joining us, bud.
Thanks for having me, Doc.
Yeah, we pulled you out of the out of your little SEO cave, you know?
Thanks for letting me
out. So, yeah, welcome. There's sunshine. You know, it's exciting.
There's daylight.
And as I say often on the pod, we're going to go grab some sushi. So I was like, hey, let's do a quick pod. This is fun. So last time we chatted, which was a few episodes back, about some SEO, which is super fun, you had made a reference to Web 3.0. And I thought that could be a really interesting topic to sort of chat about. Sort of what does that mean? Web 3.0? That implies that there was a 1.0, right?
There was.
Maybe there was a 2? I don't, you know.
And there was a 2.
Yeah, exactly. Surprising. We're using the iPhone numbering system of just adding more numbers. Yeah. all right. Web 3.0. Michael, jump in. Like, give us the spiel.
Cool.
Give us the spiel on 1, 2, and 3. I'd love to hear this and sort of rap about this. This is going to be great.
Interesting facts. I think the numbering system, I could be wrong, was just an assumption knowing coders and developers.
Yeah.
They have version releases and they're numbered like that, like the iPhone.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
so
yeah.
I totally think it's just like a version release.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, I mean, you know, and even old school Adobe, you know, everything was 1.1, 1.3, 1.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I get it. I'm just making fun. So. Yeah, Apple tried to be different and it was like, we're Snow Leopard, you know, we're Mojave, we're, you know, all the, and everyone was like, I don't know what any of this means. Mavericks, what's happening? That's a cool wave, you know, like, you know,
yep.
And then finally they're just like, all right,
we're iOS.
It's OS.
We're
it's OS 16, you know, it's OS 7. I mean, they even they gave up, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's pretty funny. All right. Web 3.0. Let's chat.
Cool. Brief history.
Yeah. What was, how would you define Web 1.0? I guess let's start there.
Web 1.0, I think, was simply connection.
Okay.
And just information, basic information, text. If you think about how when the internet was first created, all it was to connect two computers.
Yeah.
And then it was just to relay information back and forth via text, via things like that.
Yeah.
2.0 comes out, and 2.0 is really the consumption of video and the consumption of digital media.
Okay.
In that way.
Okay. And we're currently in 2.0, you would say.
We're
right?
Currently in 2.0.
Okay. I would say 2.0 has a tremendous amount of runway. Like, if you think about the first videos that you watched on the internet versus how quickly YouTube and everything loads now, and Michael's sitting here laughing, it's pretty funny. You know, like, we've had a long run with 2.0, I feel like, right? The reason why Michael's laughing and cracking up and falling out of his chair is that if you actually think about it from a historical contextual point of view, I think the reason why we transitioned from 1 to 2, we have Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson to thank, right? That was kind of the seminal tipping point of where everyone stopped using the internet, CompuServe, chat rooms, and went into video. It really is. I mean, it's big business,
and it's
weird to think about that. But if you go back and look at the date wise, or even if you watch some old great shows like The Sopranos, and Meadow is doing her homework in her room, you know what I mean? Like we have America on, like we kind of have pre Tommy Lee and Pam Anderson, you know, and post. Right? And you know, the consumption of video really changed. Now, we don't have to talk about what that means for us as a society of deviants, you know what I mean? But it is an interesting kind of pushpin, you know, in the timeline of the internet.
It's a cultural shift.
Yeah.
In all this, it seems to be that everything's tied around that point.
Yeah, I need to download that damn video, you know? Why can't I get this to work? You know, like, you know, I know. So it's funny. I mean, we get a good chuckle out of it, but it's kind of historically accurate, right? So but anyway, so I totally interrupted you. So 2.0, no, you know, is where we are now.
100%. Right? And you can really see 2.0 in social. So social's heavy 2.0. It mixes media, like even going back to MySpace.
Yeah.
Right? I can put my own media up there. I'm also connecting with people. I'm chatting with people.
Yeah.
I'm messaging, and then I'm having videos, all this stuff. And then, you know, Facebook today, even Instagram, like all this is heavy 2.0. And I think what you said too is 2.0 has had a long runway.
Yeah.
I don't think we're out of that runway yet.
Yeah.
But I do think we're coming to the end of things.
Okay.
Especially so we
don't
talk,
scare me, Michael. The end of things.
Well, the end of 2.0.
Is this where the sidewalk ends?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I had both volumes.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Those are great books.
Fantastic books. Anyway,
they really were.
Yeah.
But I do think we're really about to come up on another major transition point. And I think part of that too is even like, so we talked about AI the last time I was on here.
Yeah.
And there was a video released where AI deepfaked Joe Rogan's face and voice and pushed product.
Yeah.
And Joe Rogan never endorsed the product or anything, but a lot of money was made and moved.
Yeah.
And as a result,
and it was made and moved relatively quickly, from what I recall.
Oh,
right. Because he jumped on it relatively quick and was like, yes. Whoa, wait a minute, this isn't me. You know?
This was like less than a week, a couple of days.
But boom, too late. You know.
Yep.
So,
and what's happening now is you're actually going to see identity problem, and this is where Web 3.0 is going to change things because. Okay. Web 3.0, I think, is going to include identity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do I know whether it's machine or person? How do I know whether who I'm talking to is real?
Well, Michael, we kind of already have identity problems right now.
I agree. You know?
I mean, we've got so much fraud. It's unbelievable.
All the catfishing, all the people playing.
Yeah, I mean, try to go add a line to your cell phone plan. I mean, it's like, what blood type do you have? What PIN? Give me this. I mean, it's unbelievable, right? And
it's
all
so
of those
true.
Are there because of people gaming the system.
But know? if you think about how you use the internet, you've never previously questioned, am I actually talking to a person?
Mm.
And I think that's the problem that is really, it's a bigger problem. And so it's actually forcing this issue of identity more.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people have used the little customer service chatbot.
Yeah.
You know, and I kind of liken those to QR codes. Like everyone, like when QR codes came out, and QR codes have been used for inventory forever, right?
Forever.
And then all of a sudden it's this consumer and we're like, oh wow, what's this little scan it with your phone? And you're like, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, immediate letdown. There's nothing but I have to download a player and or a QR, you know, and we went through this phase where like, especially from our perspective, we were advertising using point of sale with QR code. Right. And then it was just an immediate consumer. And then it kind of died. Right. Then we build in QR code functionality into your phone. You know what I mean? You can just open your Apple phone, you know, camera or whatever, and it'll automatically work. You're right. And it's starting to sort of claw its way back. Right. It's a weird side note on QR codes. Right. But I think, you know, I use that as the same thing as we've all interacted with chatbots and been like, wow, this totally sucks.
Yeah.
I just wasted all this time. Like I wasn't on hold, but like, oh my God, I just typed my guts out about this problem I have or about this customer service instance. And like, yeah, this was a big old letdown. It turns out I still do have to talk to a person. Right.
Right.
You know what I mean? But yeah, you bring up a great point where it's like, okay, wait a minute. Am I talking to a person? Or am I not talking to a person?
Some of this stuff is so good. You have no idea.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And that is where I think the identity stuff is really going to be pushed more because you think about like your phone is just straight internet.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, like, other than short of calling somebody, you have no idea who you're talking to.
Yeah, we kind of shouldn't even call them phones anymore because we never use them for telephone calls.
No, they're computers.
Yeah, exactly.
But and then the next thing too, so the identity thing. And so this is what I think is going to happen. I could be totally wrong.
Yeah,
this is just kind of my prediction.
Great. Well, we're going to look back on this 10 years from now and be like, dude,
that'd
be
cool.
Crushed it. You know,
that'd be cool.
All right, well, hit us. This is good stuff.
I think blockchain is going to be used in Web 3.0 to tie identity.
I also
think. And this goes back to what Web 3.0 is. The Web 3.0, the premise behind all of it, is to actually bring real commerce into the internet.
Okay.
And so it's not e-commerce like what we think it is now. There's actually a transfer of physical real estate and property that can occur in the internet.
Okay, interesting.
And so a couple different ways. One, Mark Cuban and his company already producing blockchain technology that tracks, you know, your ownership of your house, your car, everything. So like there's no more mortgage papers. It's all digital. It's an NFT.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that's happening is like what's happening with Zuckerberg and Book of Faces.
Yeah, it's the Book of Faces.
To where they have the metaverse and people are actually buying real digital property within that realm.
Digital space.
Digital space. But not like a web page. It's like I'm putting on this mask and goggles and I'm now walking into this room that is owned by somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to hit quick pause.
Yeah.
Because I thought about something that always has baffled me. And I, you know, the age old question of, hey man, if you had a time machine, what would you do? Or what's old great ideas that you wish you had been a part of or something like that?
Yeah.
Buying physical space in the internet, I think is strange. And that's maybe a topic for another podcast or whatever. Like, is it real? Cause couldn't you just add more space? Like we add more data, but do you remember the $1 million web page? Since we're talking about web 1.0, web 2.0, right? And that guy, I don't remember the guy's name. I don't know how, you know, but it was you could buy a pixel, whatever the cost was for the pixel. And I don't know what the dimensions were of everything, right? But it was once we fill up this block, right?
We're done.
And that guy's going to get $1 million, right? And I remember the Today Show was talking about, like, all of a sudden it hit this PR bonanza. Now a lot of casinos, from what I recall, ended up buying a bunch of pixels to put in, you know, call to actions or whatever the case may be, right? But the dude made $1 million just selling pixels on his, like, AOL website. And this is like 1990 money. This is like real $1 million. Yeah.
Dot-com boom.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Pre like inflation.
Yeah. That is craziness. One seminal moment of the internet where I was like, wow, this, God, I wish I came up with that idea. That is awesome. What a great thing.
So, that's NFTs and blockchain.
I know. It's interesting.
And so, that's the same property because yes, could they create more? Yes. But the problem is they are, it is going to be intentionally designed to be exclusive.
Oh, of course.
And so, I think that's where. Because that's where the money is.
So how would you explain, for those that have heard of blockchain and oh, you know, we all know NFTs and the apes and, oh my God, I lost my digital wallet and somebody stole my this and NFTs are failures and it's, you know, it's like, you know, investing in Bitcoin and, you know, like there's so much negative or whatever like that. But I do think the potentially the best part of NFTs is the blockchain technology. Now, environmental concerns aside, because that is a whole nother conversation about, you know, the computing, necessity, right, to create all the code isn't necessarily good for Mother Earth. And we only have one Mother Earth thus far, right? Yes. But how would you explain what blockchain is, I guess?
So
I'm kind of putting you on the spot.
No, here, that's totally cool. So in, without getting too deep into the nuts and bolts of everything, blockchain is a simply, it is, if you think of it like the law of gravity, once it's in place, you can't remove it.
Okay.
And it takes effect to where it tracks everything of where that transaction is taking place. So Bitcoin, every time Bitcoin is transferred to another person or used to exchange, it is forever recorded, written in stone, unless the world blows up and all the computers die.
Yeah, I mean, it is a string of code that is attached to an asset. Is that a way of explaining
it? That's a way of explaining it. And the code is unchangeable, the way that it's written.
Yeah.
And so you can't actually mess with data.
Yeah.
And that's what makes blockchain very different.
Okay, and you can't hack it?
No.
No.
You can't hack it.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay.
And that's what makes it very different.
Yeah.
The other thing too is, you know, talking about the NFTs, I see the NFTs and the whole explosion that's currently happened with them.
Yeah.
Just like the dot-com boom. 90% of the stuff went away in the dot-com boom.
Yeah.
And then the 10% that remained, like Google, was phenomenal.
Well, a lot of ideas and premises failed, but then returned, right?
Yes.
And here's what I mean by that. Like Webvan, you know, amazing idea that has now rebirthed its way into a million different versions of, you know, DoorDash and Instacart and all these different things, you know, even, you know, so it was, it's not like I'm going to say, hey, Webvan was ahead of its time, right? But it maybe financially wasn't the right time at the, you know what I mean? It wasn't financially viable and that's why it kind of crashed, if that makes sense, you know, but that idea did, you know, come back around again, you know? So there are a lot of interesting ideas from the 90s that I agree with you. 90% of all that stuff went away.
Yeah.
You know, but the specificity of marketplaces by vertical, which was really interesting, right? That businesses never had before. All that stuff totally survived. It didn't survive in how it was birthed in the 90s, but it came back around again and was like, okay, here's the textile marketplace.
You know what I mean?
Like, you know, but to your point, Google, eBay, you know, there's some anchor pillar. I mean, you mentioned MySpace, you know, MySpace went away, but that idea.
I think MySpace is still around too.
Yeah. There was a Justin Timberlake bought it and it became a music thing and something like that. But that idea obviously still lives today, which is interesting. So
it does. And I think the same thing, like even though I think the NFTs are going to be here to stay.
Yeah.
And it's going to be based on utilitarian use
is
really how a lot of them are going
to
be used.
Well, talk to me about identity. Because that is a concern, right? And that's, I think, where you think about your digital – is it correct to almost say like your digital fingerprint?
100%. You know? No, that would be a great way of saying it because what it is as you log in to Web 3.0 or whatever that is going to look like, now you're attached to the blockchain saying this is who I am.
Yeah.
And then you're able to like be verified as a person.
Yeah.
And not a robot and all these other things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
that will theoretically help eliminate identity theft?
I think so. A lot of it because it goes back to the blockchain being hacked and different things like that.
Yeah.
Versus like, you know, just having security breaches just across the board because now I'm trading information with all the companies, but all the companies are using this universal system that can't be broken because if you're hacked, and it gets taken. Well, that's recorded in the history. So now we go and just take it from whoever took it.
Yeah. That's interesting. Well, that kind of blows my mind. I think what's interesting that no one really talks about is that humans are the biggest break in the security.
Yes.
Right. You know what I mean? Like it's like, so you're talking about, hey, customer service. Am I talking to a human? Am I talking to a robot? Is it, what's happening here? Right. But it's universally the human interaction that ends up coughing up the goods and creating the problem and the piracy in the first place. So I think potentially Web 3.0, if you're making predictions, you know, my sort of off-the-cuff prediction might be that we might actually interact with humans from a customer service perspective less and less, right?
I think so.
Yeah, because there was something on, like, you know, calling your bank and saying, hey, fraud this or that or bad checks or whatever like that, you know, like, there's been several reports on, you know, the news and what, like, you know, 60 Minutes and whatever the case, you know, of like, oh, I'm a hacker and here's how I hack into your bank account, right? And it's like, oh, I got a screaming baby in one arm. I got this. I got my song and dance. I got, you know, and you appeal to people's,
emotions.
You know, yeah. Emotions and soft side or whatever. Then they're like, okay, you know, and you've got enough to be dangerous. You know, a mother's maiden name, you know, a little bit here and there, you know, but maybe you don't know the pin. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And it's, that's, you break down, you know, the barriers through, you know, humans being the entry points, right? So if we blockchain almost humans out of the conversation, right?
Right.
Then it's just, hey, the number is the number. The serialization is the serialization, right? So.
No, I think so. And
it's
kind of
weird.
It will remove a lot of that.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah. It's weird to think about, man. Super weird.
It's crazy. But I mean, yeah. I think the way that things are going, even with the internet, like, and I'm going to go to Elon and Starlink and what he's doing is, even though he's providing internet for everybody, I think, and even whether he said it or not, is to actually build like not a neural network, but a massive network for all the self-driving cars to run off of. And so nobody dies anymore from car wrecks.
Yeah. That could be interesting.
And I think, it's so interesting because like AI is really changing how business is done, but life moves so slowly.
Yeah.
Because everybody's got to adapt it and adopt to it.
Yeah. So, well, change is hard.
Yeah.
You know,
it
I
really
mean,
is.
For humans, right? And the word change implies, a radical departure. What I mean by that is like change implies I was going left and now I'm going right. Like,
sure
like,
does.
Like the word, just the word change almost means 180 degrees. Right.
Yeah.
And so, trying to get somebody that's been doing something or was taught a certain way, you know, their whole life. And then, oh, you got to change that. Like in your mind, you immediately go, oh God, I got to, but it's really more a shift. It's really more an incremental degree. You know, if you're at 12 o'clock position, it's really, you just got to go to 1 o'clock, like, you know what I mean? Or 11 o'clock. You don't have to go all the way to six, you know? But I do agree with you that human behavior, and that's something we deal with every day here, right? Is the power of persuasion. And convincing someone potentially that there's either a better way to do something or they need to purchase something they hadn't really considered yet. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, that's at the heart. That's kind of what advertising is, right? It's the power of persuasion, right? But you bring up an excellent point that technology outpaces our human ability to change, shift, modify, you know, exponentially, right? So
it really does. And so I don't know how soon Web 3.0 is going to come along, but there's going to be people averse to it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
For sure.
Well, it's going to be, hey, the deed of my house, like my physical house now
is owned digitally,
is technically a digital sort of scenario. Like, how in the world does that work? Right. And think about how the you know what I mean?
Your car.
Yeah. Commerce is going to work.
It's going to work. It's going to be crazy. I mean, but here's how things are going. Like the Fed is currently working on releasing their own version of Bitcoin.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you have other coins like XRP. I'm not pushing anything. This is just me reading to learn about all this stuff. But
for sure.
Like you have other coins that are going to be, that are now incremental and becoming vitally important for just transfer of cash money from bank to bank. So it's just crazy interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and how it upsets businesses, especially politically, right? I mean, you've got the Fed that you mentioned, the Fed that they had been working on their own version of TurboTax, right? Or like filing your taxes for, you know, you don't have to go to H&R Block, you know, well, like, these are billion-dollar companies, and then the government is basically saying, oh, okay, hey, just we need the money faster. We need, you know, just do it for free instead of paying someone else to do, you know, that type of thing, right? And so, you know, Web 3.0, how will that upset existing commerce? You know, it'll be interesting to see.
It'll be really interesting.
How that works, right? So remember the old movie Demolition Man?
I sure do.
Yeah.
Where Taco Bell is a five-star restaurant?
Yes, yes. It's all about the three shells, man. You know? And I love that the three shells is a great joke for those in the know, and they never really explain what the three shells are, right? But you know, I mean, one of the funniest parts about that is obviously the self-driving autonomous cars, and you know, there hasn't been crime in Los Angeles, you know, for whatever 20 years or 30 years or however long it's been, right?
Yeah.
You know, and no one drives their own car anymore, you know, which. You know, I mean, we've got half the population, or probably more than half the population, that still is of the opinion, I will never buy an electric car. Will never buy an electric car. You know, I need the sound. I need the this. I need the that. You know, and it's like, huh, that's interesting. You know, but the future is not in burning dinosaur bones. We all know that. I mean, it's just a matter of when are we gonna shift? So, the interesting Toyota announcement about their battery technology. I don't know if you caught that.
No, I haven't heard that.
Yeah, Toyota. Now I'm going totally off topic here.
No, that's cool.
Toyota announced, I want to say a few weeks back, or maybe a month or so by now. Or God knows when you're listening to this, who knows how long ago it was, but, that they have improved lithium ion technology to where, they can build a car similar, you know, sedan or whatever, call it a Tesla or something, same amount of batteries, but it can go over twice as far. It can go over 700 miles.
Wow.
And you can rapid charge 90% in 10 minutes.
Wow.
So that to me is the gigantic barrier for road trips and for that perception of, I can't take my car anywhere, right? If you can drive 700 miles straight, right, you're probably going to welcome a 10-minute break.
Yeah.
To get 90% of your battery juice. You know what I mean? It's like, okay.
You'll charge while you're eating dinner.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm going to Bucky's. You know what I mean? Or I'm going to wherever, right? And like, I'm going to my 5-star Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm going to, you know, charge and, you know, 10 minutes is nothing. Right. No. So it's like, you know, and I, again, the crack research team, I couldn't tell you. I think it was like a 27 or 28. I think they wanted to have something out. So I mean, we're still a few years away. Yeah. Right. But if that comes to pass, that will radically revolutionize combustion engines and things like that, right?
It totally will.
Especially for logistics. I mean, we talk about all this. I'm totally interrupting. I'm sorry. Like, no. We think about it from us, like me driving to work, or, oh, I have to drive to Florida for vacation or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But it's not that. It's really more the logistics. I mean, think about gigantic semis and just the moving of commerce around, you know, every Amazon vehicle, every UPS truck, every FedEx truck, you know, if all of that stuff is electric, that'll be really, and quasi-autonomous. It'll be fascinating.
Right? It'll be super fascinating.
Yeah.
It's going to be really interesting to watch. I mean, we thought the phone was big with iPhone and how it shifts everything. Yeah. There's so many more shifts coming much more faster.
Yeah.
There's actually hydrogen, out there too. What do you call it? Technology. Thank you. I can't remember the
That's
word.
All right.
To where it converts hydrogen into electricity, and then it just expels as water.
Yeah, well, the vapor. Yeah,
vapor.
Well, they had cars like that 20 years ago.
I was going to say Honda did something like that in 2000, and it just
there's
it's
no
just
appetite
too
for
soon.
That.
There's no appetite for that, but that's going to be there too. Even if the battery doesn't make sense, that's coming too.
Well, it's like web van. Like the idea is there, the behavior. It's too early.
It's just too early.
Yeah, we're not ready. You know, the technology has outpaced human behavior, so. Any other final sort of closing thoughts on Web 3.0? I mean, it's interesting to think about, you know, your digital fingerprints, right? Improving you. I mean, we're starting to live in Asimov sci-fi movies, right? And I think about, was it Gattaca, that Jude Law thing where like you are who you are and you're kind of pre-slotted, for whatever your job is, you know, and we've got Tom Cruise and Minority Report. I mean, all these strange things are potentially going to happen.
It's coming.
Yeah.
Like, because you think about AI being predictive models.
Yeah.
But anyways, I have a few things just from the business side.
Yeah.
If I think change is really here, it's already on the doorstep. It's not like it's in the house yet, but it's not coming up the driveway. It's ringing your front door. And I think if
it's on the Ring doorbell camera,
it is.
It's knocking. Who's
it's
that guy
knocking.
Out there?
Yeah.
I don't recognize that guy.
Yeah. His name tag says change.
It's Web 3.0.
He's knocking.
And I think the biggest thing is to be fluid. And if anybody's not fluid, whether it's in business or even personally, to really change this, I'm not saying adapt, but learn. It'll break. Business will break across the board. I mean, we saw that with social. A lot of people who didn't have brand presence on social and things like that, the missed opportunity cost was massive for a lot of people.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So
that's interesting. Way to end on a high note, Michael.
Thanks.
I appreciate that.
Thanks.
All right. This has been great. I love this. It's interesting, you know, cause AI has kind of permeated into a lot of our conversations. You mentioned Web 3.0. You know, thanks for coming back and,
thanks for having
one of these things. Where can everybody find us, Michael?
They can find us at mocktheagency.com and they can also find us, on all the socials to quote Rob.
Oh yeah.
At Mock the Agency.
Cool. All right. Thanks everybody. We'll chat with you next time.